Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic growth, balanced income, select growth and income, disciplined equity. These are the diversified investment programs designed to meet your goals and life situation from KPP Financial. See more about them on investtalk.com. Click on the Investments tab. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk. It is August 11, 2016, and as every day I say, the goal here is to make you a better than above average investor, not just a normal person, but better than that. And you know, you can achieve it. It's not some lofty goal. I'm not telling you you can be an expert. No, I'm not. I'm telling you can be better than average. You can do better. A recent article in Forbes written by Robert Laura entitled Traditional Retirement Planning for Couples is Fatally Flawed. And it's really all about how people may be financially prepared for retirement in that they have enough money, but they don't have a plan. Now, why do you need a plan? Let me tell you how it's difficult to retire. It's difficult to stop working. As a couple, you're now going to be forced together a lot more time than you were ever before. Have you ever addressed that? He said in the article, unfortunately, more than 80% of baby boomer couples don't have a written plan about everyday life aspects of retirement. Well, that would be normal. I don't. Do you? Things such as how much time they will spend together and apart, how much they will play golf, travel, watch the grandkids, and more, that kind of stuff. All things that are not addressed in the traditional planning process. Therefore, many waste the first valuable years of retirement trying to figure it out. Well, I'm not a marriage counselor, but I can help you come up with a plan for your financial needs, that's for sure. And I'd love to hear your retirement story. Are you in retirement? Nearly retired? I can tell you, I tried to retire 20 years ago, and it was almost 20 years ago exactly, matter of fact, and I really couldn't do it. I could not do it. And part of the problem was being home all the time, with under my wife's feet. She's a very busy person, always has been, and here I am, well, you know, I'm home now, you gotta entertain me. That does not work. And maybe you don't even like your spouse anymore. Maybe you don't want to spend more time with her or him. Maybe. But if you want to talk about managing money, that's me. You can talk to me. You know, we're here for you to offer some perspective, and you know I will. I do. I try to do it every day. And I count on you to be part of the conversation, part of the reality here. Okay? I don't want to talk about what I want to talk about. I want to know what's on your mind. So I love it when you share your thoughts and your opinions and ask your questions. So check in right now. You can check in right now on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. You can call that number anytime you want. But we're live right now, 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, every day, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. So we'll try to answer your question on the next Invest Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jason out in Seattle. Love the show and just had a question for you about annuities. They seem to get a bad reputation. Some people seem to love them. Can you just talk briefly about fixed annuities, variable annuities, and what the honest take is on those from your perspective? Hey, appreciate your knowledge and appreciate the show. God bless.
Okay. Fixed annuities is like a CD. Think of a fixed annuity as a CD. They are going to pay you a certain amount of interest or yield or whatever they want to call it, 2%, 3% a year. That's what a fixed annuity for 10 years or however length of time it is. It's fixed. A variable annuity, those are the two main types of annuities. A variable annuity is an annuity that is not fixed. The return can be negative, it can be positive, it could be really good, it could be very poor. And what it is, a variable annuity, is you're actually investing in the stock market, usually in mutual funds. There's a group of mutual funds, like a 401k, where you get choices, and you're the one that decides what you want to be in. Now, from that point on, a fixed annuity, variable annuity, from that point, variable annuities, there's many different kinds. And try to remember that a annuity is issued by an insurance company, and it's a contract between you and the insurance company. That's all it is. It's a contract. Annuity says, the contract says, you put this much money in, and we will do this. And here's all the fine print over here is what you don't really talk about. This is my biggest issue with annuities. They are complex, but all you hear as the consumer, the person who buys it, are the sales pitches of it. That's all you hear. Very few people do any type of research. First of all, it's only as good as the insurance company is good. Is it a good, strong insurance company? You've got to make sure of that. And is it? It's also expensive with a lot of hidden costs. Now, should you ever buy one? Well, there could be situations where you might want them. I really get upset with the whole insurance industry. And I used to work for them when they sell these annuities to older people that need their money. But when you buy an annuity, your money's tied up for 7 to 10 years. And so they tried to address that issue with some different kinds of annuities, which say you can take out 10% a year without penalty. But, you know, it's your money. Why should you be penalized in the first place? And if you do it, so I'm not overly like never ever buy an annuity, but I will say that I don't care for them as instruments. And they have certain kinds that say, well, you'll never lose a dime, never lose a dime. Well, as long as you keep it there forever, and you could say that in the S&P 500, you don't have to do an annuity. You'll never lose a dime in the S&P 500 if you leave it there long enough. It's just the way it works. Let's try to answer a question via a text message. Hi, I'm a new podcast listener. My question is about Apple. I purchased it at $93. Should I still hold? What is your opinion concerning the new product launches in September? Love your show. So much to learn. Oshtosh. Apple Computer, everybody. AAPL. We own this in our managed account, have for a number of years, and we still own it. And, you know, it's been under a little downward pressure for the last, you know, since June of last year or so. And it could have topped at about 130. And then it went down to, like, what, the 90s, $90 or a little bit less than that. So the question is, should you own it? I say yes. And I say you wait for the next product launch. It's very cyclical that way. Every 2 years they come out with a brand new phone, right? Brand new features and everything else. And one of these days they're going to come out with a dud, but so far they haven't. So I'm just waiting for where I'm going to wait. I mean, especially when they have such a load of cash, huge amounts of cash. The PE is only 13. It's going to be $8.90 next year versus $8.26 this year, but that's down from $9.22. So they've had a soft couple of quarters in sales, and now the stock is starting to move back up. I think you hold on to it. I really do think it'll get back to close to $130. And that's, again, where I'll take some profits off the table. I've done that before, but I still kept the shares, but I sold partial shares off. And if it does it again, go up there, I'll probably do it again. Depends on that product, whatever they come out with. Well-intentioned folks blindly investing in mutual funds or even annuities and then brag about their shrewdness. So how much research do you need to do when you're investing your own money? That's one of our main talking points today. So we're going to discuss that. IMF analysts urge the ECB, European Central Bank. IMF is the International Monetary Fund. Analysts urge the ECB, European Central Bank, to focus on QE, quantitative easing, rather than negative rates. Okay, interest rates we're talking about. So, the IMF is saying to the ECB, don't make your rates go even further negative. Instead, use quantitative easing. So I'm going to talk about that. What does that mean? And why would they say that? I think it's important. Anyways, and then I'm going to talk about, if we get a chance, I'm going to talk why you shouldn't listen to the experts. If you read my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, You know, I say in there very clearly, don't listen to the experts. Why? Why do I say that? Why shouldn't you? And finally, there was this little, I do a lot of reading during the day, right? And there was this article about Japan adding a new holiday called the Mountain Day. Mountain Day. They're supposed to go out and appreciate the mountains. That's their 10th holiday. And so I kept reading, and the article is about holidays and about different countries' holidays, and it came to a couple of charts, and I want to share some information on those charts. How many countries have how many holidays? I mean, which countries have the most holidays? And then, also, which countries require that employers pay for those holidays, and which countries require companies pay for vacation? And how many? You'll find this fascinating. How many do you think the U.S. does? You're going to find this so interesting. I thought it was fascinating when it comes to the U.S. versus everybody else. I thought, what? That surprised the heck out of me. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I hope to get to it. I really hope to, because I think it's kind of a fun facts. Well-intentioned folks. Okay, do you see what the market did today? It was up. Dow was up 118. The NASDAQ up 24. And the S&P up 10. This is the first time all three indexes reached new highs. Okay? NASDAQ was behind before. It caught up. Usually the NASDAQ leads. So, are we in the clear? Are we on a new bull leg of the market? Could be. I wish I had a crystal ball. I don't. We'll see. I'm not getting overly excited, I can tell you that. When you visit InvestTalk.com, you'll see a list of dates for my retirement reviews. I spend the last 2 days of this month in the Bay Area. That's August 30th and 31st. And the 30th, I'll be in San Ramon. The 31st, in San Jose. And to reserve your time on the schedule, go to InvestTalk.com. That's InvestTalk.com. And click on the InvestTalk tab. And then, portfolio review. I'm ready for your money questions. This is InvestTalk. My direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Stephen, Justin. This is Sean from New York. I listen to your podcast every day, and thank you for your great show. Today, I'm calling about Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, REGN, and I was wondering what you think about that and your partnerships. Thank you very much.
This is a growth stock and a very, very high growth stock. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals develops drugs to treat eye diseases, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. They are growing their earnings 11% this year and then 31% next year. That's to $14.35 a share, by the way, next year. And it's a $422 stock. And sales are growing the most recent quarter 21%. And that has been the weakest quarter in 2 years. The quarter before that was 38%. Quarter before that, 37%. Quarter before that, 57%, 50%, 39%. So growing sales very strong, 21% recently. And because of that little fall in growth in sales and anemic earnings for 2016 of growth of 11%, the stock fell from about $600 all the way down to, it got cut in half. Now it's coming back at $421. I think it's expensive, but I think it deserves to be expensive. High cash flow, not too much debt. I kind of like it. It bounced down from its 200-day moving average, so you kind of want to wait to see it trade sideways before you jump in. But I like it. REGN is the symbol, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. InvestTalk is better when you get involved. Join in the discussion. Love to hear from you. We talk about stocks a lot, but maybe you don't want to talk about stocks. We don't have to. We can talk about life insurance, real estate, anything financial. 888-99-CHART is always open for your money topic. So why do you think people do more research buying a new car than they do in their investments? They do more research. It's been proven over and over and over again. You'll know everything about the new car that you're going to buy, and you'll know virtually nothing about a new investment that you might buy, let's say in your 401k or outside your 401k. Why is that? I understand that you don't want to, and it might be a little bit intimidating. I understand that, and that's one of the purposes of this show, is try to make it less intimidating. It shouldn't be. There's very good things to look for that are not hard when buying a company or a mutual fund or an ETF. It's not hard. You just got to know what it is that you're looking for. And when you're buying an individual stock, you just have to know how to manage a portfolio of stocks and know what direction you want to go with that portfolio of stocks. And that is a very simple thing about, you can write it down. What do I want this portfolio to do? Oh, cool. Oh, I want to make money. Well, okay, you can write that down at the top. Okay, you want to make money. Okay. Now, the next thing is, how would you like to make money? Do you want to make money growing dividends, or do you want to make money by the stocks going up in value? Okay. Where do you want to concentrate your investments? What part of the market? Tech stocks or blue chip stocks? Core type holdings, big blue chip companies paying dividends, growth stocks, value stocks, kind of start narrowing down what you feel comfortable with. And if you say, I don't know what I feel comfortable with, that's why you call me up and ask me. And I'll tell you, we'll work it out. I'll decide what you should be comfortable with and push you in the right direction. It's not that hard. It's not. And you still can do it yourself. Of course I want you as a client, but, it's not that I have to have you as a client. I want you to prepare yourself for your retirement. We have too many baby boomers, people my age, going into retirement. I think it was $10,000 a day or some ridiculous amount of money, and they just don't have any kind of clue what they're doing. And as you get closer and closer to retirement, you need to take less and less risk. Does that mean buying more and more bonds? Not necessarily. Bonds can be risky. Anyways, all I am saying is you need to do more investigation about your investments. Instead of, you kind of need to know. Every time I talk to somebody and I ask them about, what kind of portfolio do they have? Well, I have 5 mutual funds. Okay, what kind of mutual funds? I don't know. Vanguard and then some Fidelity funds. That's not answering the question. What kind means, are they growth funds, value funds, bond funds, balance funds? Are they big cap, small cap, mid cap, foreign, emerging market? What kind of investments do you have? So I want you to start paying attention to what you have. Okay? 888-99-CHART is my number, 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to John in North Carolina. How you doing, John?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I love the program. I should tell you that it's part of my morning breakfast and drive into work ritual every morning. So thanks again to you and Dustin for the show.
Appreciate it.
I have a quick question and then I have one comment.
Sure.
The question is about Calmain Foods,
yep.
C-A-L-M.
Yes.
It looks like it's kind of bounced off about 40, but when it bounced off the second time, it didn't really go as high. And I was wondering how you interpret that and whether that a weak signal, and whether you think this stock would be an interesting one to keep on your watch list.
Okay, Calmain Foods, Inc., I kind of like this area. We have several positions in this area of the market, okay? This one produces shell eggs that are distributed in the Southwest and Southeast, Midwest. It's pretty good size, $2 billion company. That's still small, but it's a pretty good size for someone who's just doing eggs. And a P.E. ratio, what I think I like about many of the stocks in this area is their low price, John. I mean, we're talking about
right.
A P.E. ratio of 7. They're going to make $2.74 next year, but they made $6.53 last year. That's the problem, and that's why this stock has fallen from $60 all the way down to a little bit above 40. It's still not cheap necessarily based on next year's earnings, but next year's earnings is a growth of 100% from this year's earnings. I kind of like it because it did bounce. It has hit a double bottom. You've heard us talk about tech,
right.
Reading technology, technicals of a stock. What you just described when you said it is come down from a high, bounced off a low, then fell again, bounced again, but this time was a lower high. This is a triangle. Have you ever heard me? I don't think I've talked about much about triangles. If you draw a trend line from the high down to each of the last three highs, and then a sideways triangle, flat, a straight line across the bottoms, that's a triangle. And as it approaches the apex of that triangle, it's going to obviously break up or down. And so far, this is a downward slanting triangle, so it's a little bit dangerous. I still like it, though, to be honest. I still like it, John. I would wait till that triangle plays out and see what happens. And then if you get a bounce from a triple bottom and goes higher than the recent high, that's a good sign. Okay? Hope that wasn't too technical for everybody. Give us a call. This is Invest Talk.
It's August's economic and market forecast. It went out to all InvestTalk insiders a few days ago. It covers the economy, domestic and foreign equities, fixed income, commodities, and there's recommended portfolio weightings. To get a copy each month, just join our free program. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and become an InvestTalk insider. And thanks again for subscribing to InvestTalk. We continue now with this Thursday, August 11th, Invest Talk. Introducing children to money early may help them avoid costly financial disasters in adulthood. 9 ways for parents to teach kids to budget. That's next time. But Steve's ready to answer any money question right now at 888-99-CHART. It's how to reach him from anywhere in the U.S.
Okay, the IMF analyst at the IMF urge ECB to focus on QE rather than negative rates. Now, do you guys know what that means? I'd use the IMF, the ECB, and QE all in one sentence. Well, IMF is an international monetary fund, and they analyze all the countries around the world and economic growth, and they're supposed to be a bunch of eggheads up there. And ECB is a European central bank, much like our Federal Reserve, and QE, quantitative easing. So the IMF is telling the European Central Bank, to don't focus on lowering interest rates anymore. You already have pushed them into negative territory. It will do a disservice if you do it. They want you to do quantitative easing, which means buying debt from out of the market. And see, buying debt, if the European Central Bank buys bonds from governments and corporations, that gives them cash that the thinking is that they'll use that to reinvest, that move that cash around and get the economy going. Because negative interest rates are not working. I've been saying that for a while. And now the IMF is agreeing with me. Now, I didn't come up with this all by myself. I just, there's a lot of people that think this. But they quote from IMF, further policy rate cuts, going further negative, could bring into focus the potential trade-off between effective monetary transmission of bank profitability. Meaning, banks aren't going to make any more money. They can't make money with negative interest rates. If they can't make money, then they lose money and they're not going to make loans. And if they're not going to make loans, they can't keep the economy going. This is what they're saying. So it says, continue to quote, lower bank profitability and equity prices could put pressure on banks with slender capital buffers to reduce lending, especially those with high levels of troubled loans. So what that means, I love the way they write these things, right? They're saying, obviously, banks are going to lose money, and those banks that are weak are going to even lose more money and maybe go out of business, or they certainly will stop lending money, and that's going to hurt the entire economy. So don't keep lowering interest rates. You're hurting the banking industry. It's not working. either is QE. Not working either. It used to work. It works best when it first starts it. But when you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, it doesn't work anymore. Everybody gets used to it. Now then they get to, then they want to, then they expect it. They, meaning the investors and the economic engine, expects lower interest rates. So when they even hint at raising them, like our Fed did, it throws everybody into a big tizzy. Come on. Think about what you're doing. Anyways, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I look forward to your show. Oh, this is a text message. Sorry. I look forward to your show. Thank you for helping me grow my investment knowledge. I just bought 100 shares of BMY for $61. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'm also trying to decide if this should be a long-term hold or a short-term trade. BMY. Isn't that Bristol Myers? Let's see. BMY. 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 Okay, yeah, Bristol Myers Squibb. It is a $101 billion company. Okay, try to remember from that, this day forward. When you're talking about a $100 billion or bigger company, those are not really good trading stocks. They're really not, because they don't usually move very much. They're slow movers. And if you want to be a trader, you want fast-moving stocks, up or down. You just want the volatility. BMY, Bristol Myers, develops branded pharmaceuticals for the treatment of cardiovascular, virological, and other infectious diseases. They, as I said, $101 billion company. P/E ratio is 28. That's very high for that size of company. So why is it high? When I see that, I immediately say, okay, so it must have pretty good sales growth, even though they are big. And they do. Most recent quarter, growth was 17%. Quarter before that, 9% in sales. Now, quarters before that was between 1 and 5, 6%. Okay? They're going to make $3.07 next year, and it's a $60 stock. The 20 P/E, right? That's what that means. Five-year range of P/E is 13 to 35. So it's kind of right now on the upper end. By next year, if they didn't move, they'd be right about in the middle. Really good return on equity, very strong cash flow, very decent dividend, 2.5%. It's a blue chip core company. This is why you would buy this company. Now, you've heard me talk about it. When you're looking for a core company like this, this is not a growth company, but this is a core company, you wait for some weakness. You want to buy it when it's cheap. You're looking for cheapness. This stock recently went from $74 down to $60 a share. It's now $60.97. I mean, we're talking, a week and a half? So they apparently disappointed on the earnings numbers because it really collapsed in one day down to this level. Now you're waiting for it to find bottom. It looks like it might have found bottom. So this might be where you want to pick it up. But I would strongly suggest it's not a short-term trade kind of stock. You're looking for a long-term investment core for a $100 billion stock like Bristol-Myers. It's non-cyclical, which means it doesn't track necessarily the economic cycle, which is good. You like that. So I kind of like it, but I'm gonna tell you to wait. I think you need to wait to make a few weeks to make sure it trades sideways and starts back up before you invest. But I do like the company. Good, solid company. Not too much debt.
When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Sell it or downsize? Fix it up? Now you have another source of answers for real estate questions. Get a note to our onboard licensed realtor. Just click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com and he'll get right back to you.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. My name's Tom. I'm a podcast listener from New York. I've had ticker LGND on my watch list for a while now. And after earnings, the stock price fell pretty harshly. Wanted to know your thoughts on the company. And when would be a good entry point to buy? Thanks, and I love the show.
Okay, this was LGND. This is a $2.4 million company. Unlike Bristol Myers, this is more of a trading company because of the size and the sales growth. Develops pharmaceuticals in the areas of oncology, central nervous system, inflammation, and blood disorders. It's going to make $3.45 this year. That's up 6% from last year. And then $5.20 next year. That's another 50% earnings growth. Sales growth is not very consistent, but it's mostly on the upside. And some quarters are huge and some are not. Like last quarter, the quarter before this most recent one, sales grew 100%. This most recent quarter, sales grew 6%. So it's one of those companies that, you know, really you want to kind of dig into why is the sales growth so erratic? There's a reason. You just got to figure out why. You got to find out why. PE is pretty high at 44. It's a $114 stock, but it's going to grow 50% earnings. Earnings are going to grow 50% to 520 next year. So that means it's what, a 23 PE? And the five-year range is 21 to 96 PE. Return on equity is 42%, very high. That's very high. I like in the teens, high teens. This is 42%. So this was more of a trading stock. And it had, you know, earnings tanked on them or something happened to the earnings, and it went from $140 down to $114. And if it holds here, this looks like a really good buying area. Above $110, right in the range of $110, $115, this is where I think it might find a lot of support and it might be where you want to pick it up. I would suggest you wait a few more days, see if it turns sideways on you. You'd like to buy stocks on some strength, a little bit of strength coming back into it after a bad earnings report. Now, when I say bad, they probably just missed expectations. You really got to dig into that and find out why it was considered bad. Maybe they're projecting slower growth. That would cause, maybe they meet expectations this time, but they projected slower growth. Find out why it went from 135 down to 114 in like, you know, 7 trading days. Okay, and see if that is a short-term problem. You're looking for long-term problems. If it's a long-term problem, you stay away from it. Talking point. I got two more before the show, and I really want to get to that last one because it's fun. But this one is why you shouldn't listen to the experts. I have said it ad nauseum. Do not believe the experts. They're always wrong. Now, why shouldn't you listen to the experts? Because the experts you see, hear, or read about all the time what the experts are saying and thinking. But the problem is these experts that you're seeing, hearing, and reading about live in the investment world. You don't. They do. They have a bias, a built-in automatic bias, because this is the world they live in. So they're going to always find things to talk about that are good or bad, but it's where they are, and this is how they operate. You need to consider the source of the information you're getting it from. Do you need the investment they are pushing? Does it suit your purposes, not the expert's purpose of touting it? Remember, they're pushing investments. That's where they live. Even when they every once in a while talk about something negative about investments, that's rare. It's mostly upbeat because that's the investment world they live in. So experts are always wrong because they're 90% always upbeat. Everything's wonderful. .com. Everything's wonderful. Stocks are going to go up to the moon. Yeah, it's always the same. Always. How come every quarter earnings beat expectations on average about 70% of the S&P 500? Beat their earnings expectation. How come? Every quarter. No matter what kind of quarter we're in. 70% of the companies in the S&P 500 beat their earnings expectations by the experts. Why? Shouldn't it be more of a 50-50 thing? Remember, they're supposed to, where do they get the expectations? From the experts. Well, shouldn't they be much closer to the numbers? This is why they beat them. They guide lower before the earnings actually come out so they can talk about all the positives of beating the earnings expectations. Did it again this year. even though this quarter's earnings is 3.5% down from last quarter earnings. You don't hear that this is the third and fourth quarter in a row where earnings have fallen for corporations. You don't hear about that. You hear about how they beat the expectations, how good companies are doing. You have to concentrate on the bias, and you don't listen to experts because they're always wrong. They're wrong for you. You have to decide what's best for you. You have to figure it out what's best for you. And stop listening to them. Time to buy gold. You know, when people pound the table on gold buying, you know, that you have to buy gold, and you hear commercials everywhere, it's probably too late to buy gold. Not telling you buy gold or not. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if everybody's doing something, it's too late. And the experts talk about it ad nauseum when everybody's doing it. It's too late. They did it. Remember the .com? Every expert out there kept saying how it's just going to keep going up because it was to their best interest to do that. Theirs, not yours. Theirs. So please don't do that, okay? Before the end of the show, I'm going to give you some interesting facts. The number of government holidays by country. Which country do you think has the most holidays? It's a big country. Has the most holidays. And by the way, United States is not even close. It's half of what the most country has. And what's even more interesting that I'm going to share with you, governments require or don't require people, corporations to pay for holidays and vacations. Require. Many governments around the world require certain amount of holidays and vacation days to be paid, total. What country do you think is the most? Which country do you think is the least? It's the least country that is the most interesting, in my opinion. The least one. I'm going to share some numbers. It's really interesting. You can still get through with your question. We still have time. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, or you can send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve.
Trying to understand how to evaluate some of the oil stocks.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. And now's the best time.
Let's see if we can answer a question from our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART. David called from Brentwood.
I have a question. I just heard you talk about a P.E. range that you look at for a company, you know, a five-year range that it's traded between two values. But where do you find that? Is that something that can be found on some of the internet sites like Yahoo or MarketWatch? I just haven't noticed that, but that sounds like an interesting thing to track. And if you could point me a good source to find that, that'd be good. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I can point you in a good source, but I can't point you in a good source for free, okay? I'm getting this a lot of this information that I read quickly from MarketSmith, and it's a service that you have to pay for. It's like 50 or 60 bucks a month, I think, and it's unlimited usage for that, and they have that right in the middle of the page on their weekly snapshot page. I don't remember. I don't think it's at Yahoo. I don't think it's at MarketWatch. And I've looked at both those. So I don't know where it is on the internet. I like it. I like the range. I like what it gives us, you know, kind of like a hint as where this stock should normally trade at. I do like that. But you also got to also consider the sector it's in, because sectors do the same thing. They have a range they usually trade in. Okay, I want to talk about, I just read today that Japan had recently enacted a new national holiday called the Mountain Day. Mountain Day, where you go up to the mountains and contemplate, I don't know, nature. I don't know what you're supposed to do. The Mountain Day. I live in Southern California. I think we should have Beach Day and then Perfect Day Day, and then, you know, I don't know. I can think of a lot of days. Anyways, what country in the world has the most national holidays? It's China. They have 20. Hong Kong has 19. Japan has 16. Chile, Korea, 15. America, U.S., 10. Many of the European countries, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range. But what's more interesting is countries, national governments that require their companies to offer paid vacation and holidays. They require them to pay for national holidays and vacation, a minimum. Require. Remember, we're talking about the government requiring employers to pay for holidays and vacation days. And what are those numbers? 38 days for Austria, 35 days Portugal, 34 days for Spain, Italy 31, Germany 30, Australia 28, United Kingdom 28, Norway 27. How many do you think in U.S.? Remember, I'm talking about the government requiring you, the employer, to pay for days, national holidays and vacation. How many days minimum? Remember, and the highest that I saw was Austria, 38 days a year. In the U.S., zero. Companies are not required to pay for national holiday, pay their employees for national holidays, or pay any vacation time. Zero. Now, think about it. Every company you ever worked for, didn't they offer you vacation time? Every company I ever worked for, ever heard of. Yes. Now, did you know that most employers, more than 50%, don't take all their vacation days every year? Isn't that interesting? How would you like to, you know, you're an employer. You're a small employer. And you have to pay 38 days a year for each employee to be off. 38 days. This doesn't count, by the way, sick days. And, you know, so what if you're out sick, too? You have to, those get paid? I don't know. Isn't that interesting? Zero for U.S. and huge numbers for every place else. I thought that was fascinating that we would be zero. Zero. You know, I'm a small employer. I pay vacation. Everybody does what I know about. Our time is up, everybody. Reminder. You can reach me directly with a personal money question that you want direct answers to. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. Your note will go straight to me, will come straight to me. And I will answer it. I always answer all my emails. And I do it pretty quickly. And if you don't get a response in the next, within like 2-3 days, something's wrong. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.